book of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be using this passage really as a topical launching pad, really not an exposition of these three verses, dealing with the very essence of what the world is celebrating today, and that is Mother's Day. What are we to be doing for our mothers? Well, we are to be doing something that the world doesn't know how to do. And that is, we are to be honoring them. And so I want to speak to you this morning on that one word, that word honor. Ephesians chapter 6, the first three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. This past week, I was called by my doctor's office and said, you have to come back in and get some more labs done because we did not get all the labs that we needed to get when you had come the previous day. So I had to get in my car Friday morning, show up right when the office was open. So I went in to get my blood drawn, and the technician asked me, said, are you prepared for the weekend? And I thought, well, I know what she's thinking, but I'm really not prepared for the weekend. I had not finished writing the message. So I said to her, well, not really. I'm not really prepared for the weekend. And of course, I could kind of sense an atmosphere. She didn't really understand what I was referring to because everybody ought to be ready for the weekend, right? And so I said, well, I said, I'm a pastor, and I said, I haven't written my message down completely for this coming Lord's Day. And she goes, oh, just like that, oh, well, this is Mother's Day. I said, yes, it is Mother's Day. She said, you're under a lot of pressure to really give a great sermon. And I didn't answer anything, but I thought, no, I'm under a lot of pressure to say exactly what the Lord wants me to say on today. It has nothing to do with mothers. I have this type of pressure every Lord's Day. But that's kind of the gist of the world, isn't it? Boy, you better deliver a good one, because the mothers out there are going to rise up if you don't do that. This is Mother's Day, and really, too, it was a day that was set aside with the intention. The original intention was to celebrate and recognize motherhood. That was really the original intention of this day. And the influence of mothers in our society, the truth is that Mother's Day is celebrated all over the world now. It's celebrated on different days, sometimes in, depending on the country, it could be in March, anywhere to June. But all over this world, Mother's Day is a day that is recognized to honor the mother of a family. That was the original intention of this day. But I also think that it is self-evident that if we give ourselves a little time to think, that at least in our nation and perhaps all over the world, but at least in our nation, we've lost the meaning of both the term motherhood and we have lost the meaning of the word honor. There's very little honor given in our society today for anything. And there certainly is very little recognition of what motherhood means. It definitely means more than a text. Happy Mother's Day, which is what I did to my mother this morning. But I'd already talked to her, so. And it definitely means more than that ancient system of communication called a phone call. It means more than just a card. It means more than flowers. If you're a mother here, you say, well, of course, it means eating out. No, it means way more than that. In our nation, we are in the midst of a tsunami of the dismissal of biological gender. That in and of itself removes any honor given to mothers. Our nation is in the midst of the murder of children and the murder of motherhood. And it is definitely depreciating motherhood. And it is constantly being demonstrated all around us all the time. I hear more and more jokes about children and motherhood in our culture today than I've ever heard in my life. It definitely is being depreciated. And if there's any place where the honor is to be given back to all men, but as of today, back to our mothers, it ought to be in the churches of Jesus Christ. And yet, even in many churches today, there is that depreciation of motherhood. I remember when I first came to Faith Memorial Baptist Church almost 22 years ago, one of the first battles that I fought, and I use that term in quotes, was the general depreciation of any family that had more than 1.5 children. That if you had 2, 3, 4, 8, 20, if you had any number of children in a family, it was ridiculed. And that's dishonoring, isn't it? It's dishonoring to motherhood. It's dishonoring to God. This past week, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal opinion editorial section that was entitled this, "Motherhood is Better Than Advertised." It was written by a lady. She seems, from the gist of the article, to be Roman Catholic, or at least she's acquainted with Roman Catholicism. She actually quotes from a Roman Catholic cardinal at the end of the article. But I want to read to you what she says at the introduction in a little paragraph a little later. She writes, and I'm quoting, "In the deluge of advertising before Mother's Day, companies offer a defeated image of motherhood, even as they claim to want to help their customers celebrate moms. The American mother is apparently a disheveled, stressed-out woman looking for a glass of wine. Most gift guides focus on pampering, coupons for spa days, manicures, pedicures. But the underlying message is still there. The underlying message is that all mothers want is a break from their children." And that really does come across in advertising, whether it's television, internet, any form of social media. She continues later on in the op-ed. She says, quote, "I think that we are better for becoming parents. Through a cycle of struggle and delight, we are being refined. Yet the advertisements make women seem like victims of motherhood. Children naturally think their mothers are always dreaming of getting away from them. You think that's true? This doesn't match the reality I see around me, and it's certainly not how I want people to think of me. My children did not ruin my life. The mothers that I know are proud of being moms. Motherhood has elevated and dignified them. I think that we can say an amen to that. Motherhood is the elevation of a woman, not the degradation of a woman. Motherhood is the dignity of a woman, not something that she needs a break from. Now, I think that we understand what we mean by that. All people need a break from something sometimes, right? But this attitude that every 3 months or so I need a break from being a mother is definitely not scriptural. And it is definitely degrading. When I grew up in the ancient days of the 1960s, I never, ever recall my mother complaining about being my mother. Never. In spite of knowing me and all my weaknesses and all my follies and all my sinfulness, my mother still does not complain. In fact, she reminds me that I am still your mother. It was a dignity for her. Now, brethren, we need to give our mothers, in fact, we need to give all people honor. And true honor, please hear me, true honor can only flow from a heart that has been renewed from above, a heart that has been regenerated by an act of the power of God through the gospel. True honor can only come from God because it is good, and only God is good. We must be regenerated. We must know of our sinfulness and our need to be saved from our sins. We must come to Christ with nothing else but seeking His favor and His mercy, not, certainly not dependent on our good works. And we need to come to Him and call out to Him for Him to deliver us from our sins, to make us new creations. And part of that new creation is to give all men honor, let alone on this particular day, a recognition of the honor that we are to give to our mothers. What does it mean when we say that we are to honor someone? Here in the text, Ephesians 6 and verse 2, it specifically mentions our who? Our parents. We're to give them honor. And one of the ways that honor is to be given in this passage is to obey them. But when we think about the word definition of this word, it basically means to revere someone or to ascribe them worth or value. To give someone a high price in our minds. To value them. And brethren, we show how much we value someone by our behavior and our decisions in regard with them. Every day. We can say we highly value you while in our hearts we disvalue the person. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 27, and I think that'll really help bring this out, what it means to value someone. And it is in relationship to Judas setting a price for Christ. As you well know, Judas was the betrayer. He left that upper room at the permission and command of our Lord Himself. He goes to the Sanhedrin. He addresses the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians. And they agree with him that he was to betray Christ for how much money? 30 pieces of silver. It was actually, in that day, the price of a human slave. But here in Matthew 27 and in verse 9, we read that this was in agreement with Jeremiah the prophet. And it says, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel." Everybody see that passage there? In this passage, which, by the way, is accurately translated, but I'm using this as a point. In this passage, our root Greek term for honor is used. And what I want to do is I want to substitute that root here and read it to you again. And I think it would help us understand what it means to ascribe worth to someone. We would read it this way. "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose honor had been honored by the sons of Israel." Everybody see that? In other words, what they were saying, what Judas was saying when Christ was there, they would say to Judas, "What honor do you ascribe to this man?" And he would say, "The honor of 30 pieces of silver. The price of a what? The price of a slave." Would you say Judas honored him highly or lowly? Every day we value things by our decisions. We place worth on another person's opinions. We ascribe worth on another person's behavior. We ascribe value to a person's instruction or counsel. To help us see it, maybe even more boldly and plainly, we could ask this question. What worth would cause you to abort a human being? The mother is ascribing worth to the child, is she not? What worth would you place that? And in many cases, human beings will place the worth of that child, their happiness. I would be more happy without the child. Would you call that a high worth or a low worth? It is a low worth. What worth do you place on doing the will of God versus your own will? Does everybody see what I'm saying? We are ascribing value to things. You hate to just put it in the terms of money, but that is what we're doing. We're setting that person, that behavior, that instruction, that problem, that person, and we're saying, look, according to what I think, here's how I value that, and according to what may happen to that person or that person's instruction, that's what I value it. And folks, here's the thing. We always go with the higher value, don't we? If to honor someone is to ascribe worth or reverence or value to that person, then how should we be responding one to another? How should we be walking before each other? Or if I was going to bring it down to this particular day, what type of worth should we be ascribing to our mothers? High or low?
High.
Very high. I think that if we would pause and think about it just for a little while, our mother suffered to bring us into life. Right? God brought life out of suffering. Our parents sacrificed for us. They could have been doing other things with their monies, but they have chosen to use their monies on your behalf. My parents, my mother, provided me roof over my head, food on the table, good instruction. That's worth something, isn't it? Is it not? My mother provided me love. My mother was not a believer, but that natural affection, family type of affection. My mother spent time with me. She listened to all my nonsense. She did not kill me when I brought home a snake from outside in the yard for her as a gift. And then when she killed it, I was very upset at her. Folks, I think on a day like this, in order for us to ascribe the proper honor to someone, we need to think about it. We need to contemplate all the good. And folks, I think that it is true, and there's always rare exceptions to this, but I think it is true that no matter how sinful our parents are, there's still a lot of good they taught us. I don't know of any perfect parents, do you? I don't know of any sinless human beings. But I know this, that any measure of good that we receive from the hand of another human being is of God. And we need to ascribe great value to this. Now, when we think of honoring, I think that we immediately default to thinking in terms of our parents, just like the Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2 states, and of course it's also stated in the book of Exodus, the book of Deuteronomy, where it says, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. But the fact is that this term honor extends far beyond mom and dad. But it is true that we first learn to honor in our childhood. That our knowledge on how we're to interact with one another occurs in the years of our youth. And brethren, this is why if you had a good parent, they demanded that you honor them. My dad and my mother demanded that I honor them. I did not always honor them from my heart, but I did honor them with my external behavior. And we learn to honor in our childhood homes so that we might learn how to honor outside of our homes. The Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3 speaks of giving honor to qualified widows. Now think about that just for a few moments. A widow is someone without a husband. And in the church, in that New Testament church, if you were a qualified widow, you were to be given honor, high worth within that congregation, even to this point, that the church would provide that widow's necessities of living for her. They didn't have Social Security back then. They didn't have the government taking care of them. And so if a woman did not have a husband, in essence and in general, she was without compensation. And in fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, now listen to this, it says that children and grandchildren must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. I can honestly say, as a lost young man, that I never at one time that I remember or recall thinking, one day I will have the responsibility of taking care of my mother. But that is there. And that is a real thing, is it not? To take care of your mother or your father. And that responsibility extends not only from the immediate children. Now think about this. Not only the immediate children, but also who? The grandchildren. Now try to get that done today. We're doing pretty good if the children show honor by taking care of their parents in their incapacitated years. But try to get the grandchildren to think about that. But folks, here's the thing. It says, this is acceptable in the sight of God. This is well-pleasing in the sight of God. Folks, if we want to talk about doing the will of God, it includes showing honor to our parents by making some return back to them. And of course, for our scripture reading, we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, are we to honor the king? But it says, and Peter says this, we're to honor all people. Now, of course, I think it's self-evident that there are different measures of honor that we give to one another. My honor that I show my parents is different from the honor I may show you as an acquaintance. But the fact of the matter is, we're to ascribe worth and value to how many people? All people, because all human beings, lost or saved, have been created after the image of God. So, folks, what we learn by this is this truth. Honor is a debt we owe to everyone. And what that means is this, is that an expression of divine love is honor to one another. We're to owe no man anything but to what? Love one another. And we're to honor how many? All people. So therefore, honor is an expression of our love one to another. If we love someone to some measure or to some degree, we give them honor and worth. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And brethren, here's the thing. When it comes to our mothers, or even our fathers, we're to show them honor as long as they live. Did we hear that? My mother did not cease being my mother when I left home, as my mother frequently reminds me. My father did not stop being my father when I left home. I have parents as long as they live. And folks, that is intended by God. It's God that set up the institution of the family, didn't He? Folks, it's God who set this order. This is not a construct of man. This is an institution set up by God. Our parents, our mothers, and our fathers never cease to be in that relationship to us. And folks, under the law, under that Mosaic law, an expression of this honor is given to us in Leviticus 19, verse 32. I'll read it to you. We're to rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. Did you hear that? And you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Don't answer out loud, but when's the last time as a gray head or as a person who is aged, when's the last time you entered a room and somebody stood? I had the embarrassment and the good of this shown to me this past week, I told you that I went to get my blood drawn, and when I went into the reception room and I signed in, the room was just packed with people. And there was one chair left. And so I looked around. There were some people after me. There were two, they wouldn't like me saying this, but there were two elderly ladies who were there behind me. And so when I checked in, I noticed that. I noticed there was only one chair. So I went to a corner away from the chair. I just went over there because I wanted to leave the chair for who? For the lady. When I did that, I ascribed worth to her. I said in my heart, that lady deserves the chair I what? I don't. Do you see what I'm saying when I'm talking about honor? My decision at that time was a decision on ascribing worth to something. Now, I said it was both a good and an embarrassment because when I went over to the corner, a younger lady came in. I imagine she was in her early 30s. She came in, she checked in, and the chair was still empty. And she looked at me and said, "Sir, would you like to have the chair?" I said, "Oh, no, I sit all the time, you know, no problem," because I wanted the lady to have the chair. In fact, after that happened, she went over there. But evidently, it must not have been my gray hair because I don't have any. It had to have been. She considered me aged. But when she did that, she was ascribing me what? Me worth. She was honoring me in that way. We are to rise up and show honor. And folks, I'm going to read you the verse again. I'm going to make another statement for a point. We are to rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. In other words, our reverence to God is manifested when we show honor to the elderly. Everybody see that? You can't say, "I'm reverencing God," and showing disreverence to the aged. This is how we revere God. When we show honor one to another. And folks, I think just thinking through these things, I think hopefully by now you would agree with me that this term honor is a lost word in our society. This just isn't good manners. This is God's commandments to us. Now, there are in the scripture two major ways that people avoid giving honor. There's a lot of ways we do that, but there are two major ways that our Lord brings out. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Our Lord had to deal with this with the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious ones of the day. There are two major ways spoken of here, and they are connected one to the other. But you'll notice in Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Now, he's going to respond to that, but he's going to respond by showing two major ways that we avoid obeying God or revering God by giving honor to people. The first is given to us at the conclusion of this section in verse 8. It's a quote from Isaiah, and he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their what is far away from me." Their what? their heart. Folks, would you not agree with me that it's very easy to say Happy Mother's Day and not give honor from your heart? That you've done the thing you're supposed to do, but you really haven't done what you ought to do? We can say Happy Mother's Day without the engagement of our hearts. That's the first major way we can avoid this. It's like getting something when you're a 5-year-old from your grandmother and you really didn't want it, and your parents say, go tell her thank you. Thank you. And we're so thankful that they obeyed, but really, where was their heart? I don't like this gift. Now, that's kind of to be expected from a 5-year-old who can't think abstractly and recognize the good. But it's not appropriate for someone older. Jesus would say the same thing. He would say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? Can we say Lord with our lips and our hearts be far away? Yes. Or Paul would write the Corinthians, the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. In other words, it's not merely what you say, it's what's going on inside. John would write this, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Folks, when we give proper honor to someone, we are giving them honor according to the truth with our whole heart and with appropriate deeds. And brethren, this is one reason why I said that you really can't give true honor unless you're born again. But even lost people are under obligation to God to give worth to their mothers from their heart. Secondly, we can avoid giving honor by just doing it with our lips and not engage our hearts. But secondly, we can do it by breaking the commandment to honor under the disguise of performing some sacred duty or tradition. You'll notice that our Lord responds here in verse 3. He answered and said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. Did he say that? Yes or no? Yes. And he said, he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. Did he say that under the Mosaic law? Yes. Verse 5, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that will help you has been given to God. In other words, they were to pay back their parents by ascribing worth to them, and in this case, some measure of support. But they said, now I can't do that because I have consecrated this money to who? To God. And so they avoid giving honor to their who? To their parents. We can avoid giving honor to whom honor is due under the disguise of performing some sacred duty or tradition. We use it as a cover. It sounds spiritual for the child here to have set aside this money for God. Doesn't that sound spiritual and good? But why did they do it? To avoid giving honor to who? Their parents. Brethren, we are masters at getting around the law. And when I say we, I mean we. I mean every one of us. We are born little lawyers. Some people actually grow up and become lawyers. And brethren, I want to encourage you to give honor to your mother today and to your father from your heart. Not just on today, but always. Always. Am I under divine obligation to honor my mother? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. And my honor or worth to her is seen in my interactions with her. That's how it's seen. I talked to my mother on Wednesday. My mother and I have an understanding that Sunday is a busy day for me. So she knows she's not getting a call from me today. So on Wednesday I said, "Hey, Mom, happy Mother's Day." I wanted to be the first one. And she laughed. She said, "I got your card today." And we just had a good talk, conversation on the phone. We are to highly treasure relationships. And we are to do it from our hearts, and it is to be all the time. Now I want to conclude by giving some scriptural admonition on ways that we can honor our mothers, really anyone. But here we're talking about mothers. And as I look through the scripture to find out these, I want to let you know that almost all the admonitions on how to honor our mother and our father are all negatives. They're all given to us in negatives, but I'm going to try to frame them in positives. Number one, we are to rise before them in heart and or deed. And we saw this, Leviticus 19 and verse 32. I don't always have to be bouncing up and down every time a mother enters into my bedroom. But in my heart, I should be rising up before her. This could mean giving one seat. This could mean acknowledging their presence. Can I meddle a little bit? It means putting down your cell phone. You're ascribing them worth. You're saying to them, what you've got to say to me is worth more than the words or the text I'm reading on my phone. Everybody see what I'm saying? This is how the small ways we show honor or dishonor all the days of our life. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says that we're to speak well of our mother. We should not be biting back. You know what biting back's like, don't you? It's like you have an animal, and every time you approach the animal's always nipping at you. We don't want to be nipping back at our mothers. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 15 says that we are to be gentle and kind to our mother. The negative commandment is not to strike, not to hit. I don't know if you've ever seen a child hit their mother in a store. My almost involuntary response to that is I want to go over, this is words my mother would use, and put a knot in the kid's head. And then in the mother's for permitting it. If they'll strike you at age 5, what are they going to do when they're teenagers? We should be gentle and kind to our parents. Exodus 21 and verse 17 says, again, I'm putting it in a positive, we are to consider our mothers with all weight and consideration. And brethren, that doesn't always mean that you agree with them. Can you give your mother all weight and consideration even if you disagree? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Can you be gentle and kind to someone you disagree with? The answer is
yes.
Yes. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18 says that we honor our mothers by being meek, easy to be governed and entreated. What does that mean? That means we should always be ready to receive correction and instruction. That's hard to do. We should be, as human beings, and especially as believers, and especially as children, always ready to receive instruction. Instruction is one of the ways, children, your parents show they love you. A child left to himself brings his parents shame and dishonor. When they let you do whatever you want to do, that's not love. And of course, God tells His children that the pathway of life is the way of instruction. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 16 says that we honor our mothers by not bringing embarrassment into their lives over our conduct. Can children be an embarrassment even after they're old? The answer to that is why? Yes. We should not bring our parents into shame. You should not bring any authority into shame. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 says that we are not to give our parents, our mothers, grief of mind. The word grief can be translated pain. Pain of mind. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 says that we're to honor our mothers by not abandoning their scriptural teaching and exhortation. What a shame it is for a child to be raised under the scriptures and then to abandon it. That's dishonor. Proverbs 20 and verse 20 says that we're to honor our mothers by not speaking evil about them. Or Proverbs 23 and verse 22, by casting her off or despising her when she's aged. Brethren, there is a wisdom given even to lost parents. It's called the wisdom of the school of hard knocks. There's a wisdom that's gained just by living, right? But blessed is the person who gets their wisdom by the Scriptures. And one of the things, and in our society we do this, we just say, well, they're old. Well, that's exactly the type of person you want counsel from. That's why they call one of the qualifications for being a pastor, they call a pastor a
elder.
An elder. And brethren, it really is easy when your mother, assuming it's your mother, it could be your father, but assuming watching your mother in a wheelchair, she's weak, she's decrepit, she is frail, she can't remember very well, it's easy just to cast her aside. But the Bible says not to do that. We are to ascribe her honor regardless of her age, regardless of her medical condition. Now that's very difficult. When my father was diagnosed with cancer many years ago, my father's been dead, I think, at least 7 years. One of my responsibilities was trying to be a help to my father. And my father, as his cancer progressed, started misunderstanding things, started getting angry and shouting about things that didn't even happen. And it became a real trial to try to do what was necessary to be a help to my father in the medical condition in which he was in, and at the same time show him what?
Honor.
Because you just don't want to take over. And I learned to some small measure what that meant, to honor someone who is aged and not despise them. Now, folks, don't you think it'd be a great thing in our nation if everyone in our nation showed their mothers honor today? It would almost be like a breath of fresh air just breezed over our nation. But brethren, these things ought to be true in the house of God. They may not be true out there, and if they are true, we give thanks to God for it. But it ought to be true here. It ought to be true among people who profess Christ as their Lord and Savior. We should not despise the aged like our nation does. And I want to conclude in this way. What happens if we don't do this? Are there any ramifications if we don't do this? And of course, you know the answer to that is what? The answer to that is yes. In general, if we transgress this command, We will bring two things into our lives. Trouble and calamity. And you notice this, even when we read in Ephesians 6, it says, honor your father and mother, verse 3, so it may be well with you. So that it may be well with you. I don't think anyone here woke up this morning thinking to themselves, you know what I want in my upcoming years? I want trouble and calamity. But we bring trouble and calamity when we violate this commandment. It can come to us with corruption of heart. The Bible speaks of evil days. The Bible speaks of God not answering your prayer. The Bible speaks of prayerlessness. The Bible speaks of the loss of spiritual sight and understanding. It's very interesting. Proverbs says, a book of wisdom, that those who do this, the ravens will pluck out their eyes. When your eyes are plucked out, you lose what? You lose sight. And when the times of darkness come, God will give you no light. Why is that? Because you have rejected light. And you will get no light. Now, folks, I think that in and of itself would do us good to set apart today for a few moments. It doesn't have to be long, but to set apart today and just think about the blessing our mother is to us. Now, if you're here today, there are people all over America today, they don't even know who their mother is. Well, you can think of somebody, some woman that's been very, very influential in your life. It may be an adopted mother. It may just be someone who is your acquaintance. But to really take the time and try to recover in our hearts a higher worth of your mother than you had yesterday. And of course, the ultimate thing that you could do today that would really honor your mother and honor the Lord would be to come to Christ. There are mothers all over this nation that have been praying for decades for their children to be saved. Wouldn't that be a great gift? Now, you can't do it just for that. But that would be a great gift to your parents. And it may be that just understanding God's demand to honor your parents, to honor your mother, you may have been brought under the conviction and the guilt of your sin. Folks, how many sins would it take to be condemned?
One.
I just have to murder one time to be a what? Murder. Just have to steal one time to be?
A thief.
You just have to sin one time to be a sinner. And that one sin, and by the way, you sin more than one time. But that one sin has a penalty, and that penalty is death. Now, don't think of death as annihilation. Death is separation from God. It's called the second death. There's a physical death, and then there's a second death. And if you say, well, that's kind of mean for God to do that. No, that's love. Purity does not stand impurity. But here's what purity did. He sent His only begotten Son so that you don't have to suffer that second death. To give you new life. To give you a regenerated heart. To give you a heart, are you ready for this? That just doesn't get frustrated under this command that I preached on, but actually whose heart leaps to want to do that. That you're not hearing this sermon as some grievous burden on you. But it would be a joy for you to do that. And folks, the way you do that is to stop going your own way and return to the Lord. That if you would confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, if you would confess that He's God in your life, well, who's God? A God is someone who tells you what to do. Everybody has a God. It's just not always Christ. To confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you would be what? You'd be saved. You would be delivered. You would be declared righteous by God. And then from that point on, in that regeneration, you would walk in newness of life. And you would begin to grow more and more into His likeness. You would be saved from yourself and your sin and the second death. What a gift that our loving God sent the most dearest thing He could send, the second member of the Godhead, to take on human flesh so that we would be changed to honor people truly, and more until the day we see Him. Won't you come to Christ and really give your mother joy today? Let's pray with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.